Welcome, Red and Blue Pill Poppers, to Nerd Stravaganza Podcast, the only podcast that is only virtually real. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
In this virtual episode, we'll dive into the Matrix, or jump through the looking glass, or down the rabbit hole if you prefer, as we discuss virtual worlds. But before we leave the real world and delve into worlds that are virtual, let's talk about all the interesting happenings in our lives since our last episode. How about you, Ryan? What have you been up to?
I had a busy week. As many of you may know, it was my birthday, so I had all kinds of new toys to play with. I got, some new X-Wing miniatures that I had, but now I have a larger army, and I'm pretty excited about that. I'm really looking forward to trying the dual A-Wing approach that I hear so much about. Apparently, dual A-Wings and one Y-Wing with R2 is super badass. I got a Super Dungeon Explorer.
Whoa!
Expansion.
Oh.
Don't have the game, so I got the expansion.
Whoa!
Well, it's good motivation for the leftover birthday money, so that's cool. And I got a really cool Xbox 360 game, and I haven't played 360 in a while, so it was kind of fun getting back into that, and I kind of remember how to play now. Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. Thank you, Tom. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome, sir.
It's a kind of Skyrim clone-ish, but I really like your character's like catch. And not to give anything too away, but he manipulates people's destiny, and that manifests itself well in the game.
Anything else to report, sir? That I'm happy. Let me say first of all that I'm happy that you enjoy the birthday present. It makes me want to play the game because I do own it. It just warms my heart to know you liked my gift.
I was rather curious, actually, if your subtle, hey, have you heard anything about this game, was fishing, or if you were legitimately interested in it.
I'm legitimately interested in you playing it first so that I can decide whether I should want to get into it. I've heard good things about it, though.
I'm about 10 hours into it, and I'm having a lot of fun.
Cool.
So, yeah, I recommend at least the first 10 hours.
Awesome. All right, man.
And that's it.
Okay, cool. How about you, Rick? What's been going on in your geeky, weekly, geekly life?
Well, I've been back in the lab working on circuits and stuff, so that's good.
Yeah.
I have been taking a break from video games, although I was sucked back into an oldie but a goodie by a friend of the show and listener of the Nerd Stravaganza podcast, Diane. Diane's claim to fame in the Nerd Stravaganza world is that she was the one who won stickers and we did a show topic, the Jetsons thingamajiggy. So she was posting up on Facebook and whatnot that she was playing a Farmville game for Xbox. So, of course, I had to look at the pictures, and lo and behold, what was it? But our beloved Avatar Farm Online. So I got sucked back into playing that for a little bit.
Oh, man.
There's all kinds of new upgrades. I can buy, like, a fish pond and stuff. It's pretty sweet.
Oh, jeez, man.
So any video game playing I have been doing has been tending to my farm. I also made some fantastic headway in leveling in Terraria, another farming style, not really farming, but grinding style dig 'em up game. but I'm trying to stay focused on getting some real world work done. And then I'm like friend of the show worthy all week. I picked up a little tidbit from a news feed on the Facebook. Friend of the show, Eric, posted on Tom's Facebook, which also showed up on my Facebook, for a Kickstarter for Spark Core Wi-Fi Arduino all-in-wonder type of circuit board. So we funded that basically to help me stay focused on my electronics adventures as of late. And that was it.
Cool, man. I I'm not looking forward to you kicking the virtual dirt off your boots before every episode from now on, now that you're back into that farming sim. But it's pretty appropriate given the topic.
It is, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Because if I had to do farm work in the real world, I'd kill myself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that would be torture.
But virtually, I just do it all weekend.
If it's just a matter of clicking, if it's like backbreaking labor, forget it.
Yeah, but hey, but I did sweat because my air conditioner broke over the weekend, so I did break a sweat while farming.
Oh, well, I'm glad that you got to experience at least a fraction of what real farmers go through. We just need to get you like a virtual rooster to wake you up in the morning and we'll be all set.
It'd be the shit.
Cockle doodle, wake up.
Maybe I'll make one with that Wi-Fi or Arduino, and I'll set it up to accept Twitter feeds, and then you can just Twitter me a cock-a-doodle-doo.
I'll make a Facebook app where every time I harvest enough crops, it makes you a rooster crow.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
We'll link our games.
I'll 3D print them. It'll be perfect.
Oh, God. No, I'm not getting sucked in. I've got my own idle habits to report on. Let's see. This week, I took a train ride down. I'm up in Seattle, as everybody knows, my home away from home. And I got to do one of my sort of non-traditional geeky things, which was take a train down to a city down a little north of Portland, Oregon, but still within the Washington boundaries where my mom's husband's family lives. So I got to do that, go down there and hang out with them. I missed my train because I didn't plan to get to the station on time. So I had like a few hour wait before the next one came. So I popped over to Pink Gorilla Games in the International District, the location that they have there, and had a nice time talking games with the guy that was running the shop, and picked up a copy of Kingdom Hearts 3D Dream Drop Distance for the 3DS, which so far has proven pretty entertaining. But it reminded me why I don't buy used games, because the game works, it's in good shape overall, but it looks like whoever owned it before me like tried their best to get the most microscopic cheese doodle particles they could into every crevice in the box.
Cheese doodle.
Seriously, it looked like, yeah, it's like they were doing cheese doodle lines and then like sneezed and got it all inside the box or something. It's pretty messed up. But that aside, still a good find and a good game. Also, back to that same Kickstarter you mentioned, Rick, I thought that was a really cool, our friend Eric really came through on that one and got to give him the mad props for that. Hopefully that'll add to my collection of unused parts laying around.
Yeah, I really didn't need it. I actually spent a lot of money on this other thing that has Wi-Fi and a radio mesh, this, that, and the other thing. But I don't know, there was something about that Kickstarter. The video was good. The whole thing, I just got swept up in it. And yep. I was like, yeah, fuck it. $40, I'll do it.
Impulse buy. Yep. That reminds me, I don't have an update on my simple robot project because of all my traveling and whatnot. I didn't really get to work on it. So hopefully I'll have one of those next week. And hopefully this new gadget can be employed in some kind of project along those same lines in the future.
Yeah, so, man. Have some Ganza listeners tweet to it, since it's Wi-Fi, and have it like displayed on its eye screen or something.
Yeah, or just talk to me. Check Twitter. And then I have to go check Twitter or it won't shut up.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. I also got in on the early access for a game called Folktale, which was available on Steam. Sort of a, I guess, resource management / sim game where you control these villagers trying to eke out a living on a new hostile continent with all sorts of goblins and other critters harassing you. Has a very fable-y kind of feel to it, in that there's like that kind of a comedy and the funny accents and everything. So far, I'm enjoying that. That game, I think I'm going to like that when I play the eventual release copy. And while I was in Steam, I noticed that a game that our former co-host and friend of the podcast, Grant, gave me, called The Witcher, like Enhanced Director's Edition, was now available for Mac. They have apparently packaged it up in Wine packaging, Wine being the software that lets you run Windows stuff on Linux, and so consequently also lets you run it on Mac. So I downloaded that game and fired it up, and my My laptop isn't exactly the best gaming rig, but it's passable, and I've enjoyed playing with that a little bit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's a gift from the past that has started giving.
So what's that make it, like, 4 games total that are available for a Mac now? That's kick-ass.
Yeah, yeah, the Mac library has literally doubled from 2 to 4 games available.
I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
No, I mean, actually, Wine does sort of bridge that gap a lot. I don't know what kind of overhead is involved in, you know, wrapping something in what I've heard referred to as a Wine skin. Very realmy. But definitely opens up some possibilities. I will say that I did get an error when I first tried to run the game. It was a Windows error. So just going to put that out there.
Of course it was.
Jab back at Windows. but I can't get too into that game because I'd rather probably play it on my proper PC when I get back to Florida. And I have got some Mass Effect to play. So that needs to be my focus on a gaming front.
Nice.
And that is it for my update, and I think that concludes our brief discussion of the mundane world that we occupy on a day-to-day basis. Our lives aren't mundane, but the world is. So, considering how much cooler our lives would be in an alternate setting, is good motivation for tonight's topic, which is virtual worlds. We've got a tentative title for this episode called What is the Matrix, which I thought was quite clever, because you could answer it by saying it's a virtual world, though there's some definite debate within the Ganza verse about whether or not the Matrix was a virtual world versus, like, what, a simulation, say?
Or to a lot of people, could just be a movie. I think a lot of people walked away not knowing what the fuck they watched, so... It was a movie.
That's a good way to put it.
I really wish they had made some sequels to that.
I wish they didn't.
They didn't. There was The Matrix and then, like, some other stuff with the same actors.
Well, you know what? The first clue that it was a virtual world, though, was the fact that Keanu Reeves didn't suck in it.
It was his avatar. It wasn't really Keanu Reeves. It was his Reeves-atar. So, with that said, so The Matrix being one possible example in media of a virtual world being presented, can you guys think of others of sort of worlds that people are maybe projected into, or, you know, stories that are told within a world that's not our own that sort of come to mind?
Does World of Warcraft count?
It does. I mean, that's, if you want to consider that a virtual world, then I think it does count.
I think World of Warcraft's a great example of what can happen in a virtual world, because at least twice that I can think of, people in that world have just done shit that people who programmed it didn't even know was possible. Like, they never even thought about. And I think that gives it a life of its own.
Like what, got girlfriends?
No. In the game world.
Lost weight?
The zombie plague.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm going to nerd out on World of Warcraft after all, as much as I pretend to be above it. About the zombie plague. Side note, right before the show, I got an email inviting me to return free for 7 days. This show might motivate me. But the zombie plague, Brian, we're talking about what I presume we are differing views on how that went down, right?
Yeah.
Hello?
Uh-oh. Zombie plague got him.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, like, disappeared for a second.
Oh, all right. Yeah, the zombie plague and how it was intended to go and how it went and how some people hated it and how some people loved it and how some people grew to love it once it was long gone.
That was interesting. So that was where you basically got slimed by a zombie and then yourself became a zombie and were basically given the instructions, like, you want brains, go kill. And you were basically drafted into PvP against other players as a zombie, right?
I read somewhere, and I'll have to dig this up, But the original intention was for the character to just kind of like, well, this sucks, and die.
That did happen, though. But everybody was going on killing sprees before they died.
Well, no, right. The killing spree was, like, accidental. They, like, didn't think people would do that.
Oh, so you were supposed to get infected and then just wander around and die? Not take it out
of... You were supposed to, like, dick around and, like, maybe, like, kill a few people or maybe, like, let your friends kill you or something. Uh-huh. I don't think they really considered that you would run into the middle of Ironforge and explode, infecting hundreds of NPCs.
But I think that... I took it the other way, because as soon as you turn, they were like, you crave brains, go eat. They, like, flat out gave you that instruction as, like, and gave you, like, a simple set of instructions, which were to spread the plague and attack people. So have the game designers come out and said that their intention was not for that to be sort of a ad hoc PvP session, or?
I think they, I don't know if it was because it was such an unpopular feature or if it was really not what they intended, but they've kind of like, wow, I can't believe people would do that.
I refer to that incident as the Great Care Bear Meltdown of 2008 or whatever year that was, because I played WoW at least for a time on a PvP server, so it was no big deal for me to be ganked and, you know, conversely to try to gank others. And people were freaking out on the message boards and in chat. Like, you would think that somebody had stolen their Christmas presents. They were so upset.
I hated it, and I'll tell you why. Because I was just a tiny little gnomeling. I was like level one. I had just started playing the game when that happened. And I was so pissed because I couldn't do anything because I kept getting infected and turned into a fucking zombie. And it just irritated me because it got to the point where there were people that were just out to infect everybody, and I didn't really get to enjoy my first foray into the game because of that. But once that scourge was over, I wonder, would I have liked it more if I was a more leveled character and could have actively taken part in it effectively rather than just, I was so little, man, I couldn't do shit. You know what I mean? I couldn't kill anybody. I couldn't even really infect anybody. One hit and I was dead.
You're a goner, yeah. Interesting that they sort of shoehorn that into ecosystems that were not, where player versus player combat was not the norm. And so that was a pretty big paradigm shift. You log in one day and you're suddenly getting killed by zombies.
Yeah.
Who are actually people. And also interesting... It was an interesting experiment on what happens when you sort of deputize players to become like agents for the game,
mm-hmm.
You know, whereas normally NPCs do that and they behave in very predictable ways, the way they're programmed. You handed the NPCs choice and some of them did just like once I realized that my killing people was griefing, whenever I would get turned, I would just like jump up and down until somebody came and like offed me. But they kind of gave you the choice to be aggressive or to like just go hide in the woods and die. Yeah. And interesting that it's interesting how that played out and how people reacted.
One of the things I was able to get some joy out of it was I would run my little ass off into the Wendigo cave or the Wendigo, however you say it, because those bastards were killing me because I was still little enough where those things were kicking my ass. So I'd run in there and kill all those Yetis. And it was awesome.
Nice. As the zombie.
Nice. Like, fuck you guys.
Should have turned them into Wendigo zombies or whatever they were called. So that's interesting. So World of Warcraft is a virtual world where there are certain rules. And it's basically, you know, you're picking up stuff, you're crafting, and you're fighting. You're not necessarily... it's a little too abrupt a change to introduce this complete shift in the way things are done. And I would say that that would also go for really any MMORPG like EverQuest or Star Wars Online, any of those type of games.
What about Second Life?
Well, that's a great point, Brian. What about Second Life? I have some experience. I think you might have more. Explain maybe to the audience that aren't familiar how different Second Life is from like an MMORPG.
Well, instead of getting a zombie plague, there was an AIDS epidemic.
Lyndon AIDS.
Okay, Brian, now you can take it over for real.
It's, yeah, the best of times, the worst of times. It's a sandbox game, so you can program pretty much whatever you want to and are capable of, which gives rise to really cool real world inspired clubs with like dancey music and like awesome fashions. And there was one game where you could go and play baseball with the Kool-Aid man, and every time you'd hit a home run he would, oh yeah. That was funny. There was a what's it called? Garden of Good and Evil? Garden Biblical Snake Apple.
Oh, Garden of Eden?
Garden of Eden, thank you. There was a Garden of Eden, and if you ate the apple, you immediately plunged into hell and were tormented by demons. And there were about 10,000 swingers clubs and fetish factories. Because apparently people on the internet are perverts.
Yeah, I'll say that Second Life is intriguing because it's what happens when you basically give people just a sandbox and let them make of it what they will. And I guess it shouldn't really be surprising that human beings, being like the fucking horny, like hairless monkeys that we are, should have sex pretty strongly represented in such a world. But I was taken aback when, like, everywhere I turned, there was somebody with a friggin' fake dong on walking by, it seemed like.
Hanging out with me probably didn't help. There were a lot of, like, really cool things you could do in that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still in... I keep meaning to return to Second Life just to explore it. In fact, I even went so far as to download the viewer again and popped in the other day for a little bit just to look around. But it's just overwhelmingly large, and I have to find some cool highlights to check out.
I do remember way back when they actually launched the ski resort. That was fun. You were there for that, weren't you?
Might have been. That's going back a few years since I've been an avid resident of the world. I don't want to say player, because, I mean, do you play that game? Is it a game?
It's not a game. It's a good way to kill a couple hours at the night.
Right. You reside in a second world.
And I will have to look this story up, too, for show notes. But apparently there was someone took it a little too far and programmed a game in the game. I think I mentioned that before. So people would log in and not play Second Life. They'd actually go to their homes and sit down at a computer.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. Like, that's the...
Oh, wait. I do remember that. People would be actually sitting at some kind of a console, and it was like this really addictive game, right?
Yeah. Almost like the Star Trek episode.
Was there a Star Trek episode where everybody got addicted to a game? Oh, yeah, there was. There was. Data didn't get addicted, though, right?
I don't think so. I think he saved the day.
Yeah.
I think Wesley saved the day.
Why can't Wesley ever just die? Anyway. Rick, you ready to jump into Second Life with us?
I'll do it.
Cool. So, putting Second Life aside for a moment, I mean... I don't know that there's really anything else like it. Most other virtual worlds that I can think of, with the exception of maybe like PlayStation Home on the PlayStation Network, which is just like a big social networking room, take the form of, you know, combat, a giant arena for combat and gearing up and fighting enemies. I mean, can you think of any other examples? I thought there was something akin to Second Life at one time. Over There or something like that. Does that make any sense?
Oh, Therian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the game was called There or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But
that,
same
I think that was the same thing that just didn't last as long.
Yeah. So, yeah, same concept. So, so far these worlds have taken on, at least when it comes to gaming, and we use that term loosely about Second Life, have taken on either like a cool place to be a badass warrior and kill some goblins or... you know, be a Sith and kill some Jedi, or this sort of sandbox approach that Second Life has taken. And it makes me wonder what we can expect as things evolve and become more compelling and more, and I hate to use this hackneyed term, but I will anyway, immersive.
A lot of red light districts, I would say.
Well, I definitely think that especially if haptic feedback devices in strategic places become widely available, there will be a bustling business for virtual sex. But to be honest, I don't think that all my time or all a player's time would be spent in a place like that. You'd want to kind of, wouldn't you kind of then want to wander out and explore this like cool fantasy world too, or whatever kind of world it is?
Do avatars chafe?
I hope that the future of virtual worlds is not like just like one big whorehouse, but not because I don't want to be hypocritical and say I'm opposed to sex of any kind, but
there's got to be a little bit more out there.
Yeah, I mean, here's an opportunity to basically, you know, create what you will on this blank canvas, and all you can think of is, you know, the red light district in Amsterdam. I don't know. Do you guys see, in terms of overall popularity, and my instinct is to go one way with this just based on what I know of subcultures, do you see the next incarnation of World of Warcraft, you know, where you basically are in the world, basically something like the anime Sword Art Online, which I'm not sure, I know I was raving about, I'm not sure you guys ever watched, basically you entered this world and it was like full VR headgear and you were just in it, and it was like a realmy sword and sorcery world. Do you see something along the lines of fantasy or maybe sci-fi being more popular in the future, or can you see more Second Life type things, maybe with like greater Facebook integration and stuff taking off? Can you see like your mom and dad occupying that kind of world someday?
The thing you said about Facebook was kind of how I was gonna approach it. I think if it's gonna grow in any way at all, it will probably blow up in the sex sector, but once, if they can't figure out a good way to monetize that, and even if they do, it probably just make everything else happen faster, because that seems to be the way it always goes. But I think what would really be the mainstay everyday staple would be almost like a virtual Facebook world. You know, you gather friends that way, and you're within your own circles and cliques and stuff like that, rather than a Second Life type of thing where it's just completely open.
So that's a very interesting prediction you made, Rick, because that is basically the prediction that was made. And I don't hate to. I'm sorry to keep beating up this book I'm reading called Infinite Reality, the subtitle of which eludes me once again. But one of the things the authors predict there is that you're going to see this proliferation of social networking, be it as part of virtual worlds or just enhanced Facebooks. But they're going to be more narrowly focused. In other words, they're going to cater more strongly to your subculture or your subgroup.
Right.
Which kind of makes sense. I mean, I guess you could tailor hangouts or worlds or virtual reality chat rooms or whatever you want to appeal to a certain audience. You know?
Well, just think about it, dude. Anything and everything that's ever been around that was somewhat virtual world related has either failed miserably because it didn't contain the social things that work on a most basic level, like I am. You know what I mean? It's the things that have stuck around, or the things that have grown, or the things that integrate the ability to hang out with the people that you want to be with, or talk to, or virtually be with people in that space.
Yeah. And as I'm hearing you say that, it almost, one potential implementation I can see for sort of a sandbox or a social networking lobby or world is as a launching point to your other entertainment venues. And this is going to smack a lot of Ready Player One, I think. You'll go into your like Facebook group of like, you know, Ganza gamers, and you'll hang out and you'll be able to do all kinds of stuff in there. And then there'll be a portal, you know, to the World of Warcraft world, you know, hey, who wants to jump in there? And then boom, your avatar gets transferred over into that game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What do they actually call that in World of Warcraft? You know, like when you're up in Dalaran and you go into those little portal worlds and you go into those different zones.
Oh, instances? Or
yeah, I think it'd be kind of like that. I think you're dead on like that. Like, you would log in, you know, Ganza Rick and, you know, my friends, my family, people that I know, people that I've added to be in my availability, them in mine and mine in theirs, just like basically what we're doing now on Facebook. And then you've got the ability to kind of shoot out from there to go where else you need to go or want to go.
And you take on properties, you know, appropriate for your character in that world, right? Yeah. So it's a whole different set of attributes and everything. I'll mention the anime Sword Art Online again, which concerns, virtual worlds. I won't give it away. You guys really should make a point of watching that. I thought it ended too soon, but it touched on a pretty interesting concept. But in that game, in that series, there was a breaking point where basically the characters and the setting switched from one MMORPG to another. And it's more like an MMOVR RPG. They had like a real name for it, but because it's virtual reality. But basically, this guy who was like a swordsman in the one world then transferred over to this like fairy world, essentially, right? Well, it wasn't a one-for-one swap, but what attributes were applicable made the transition. So I think it brings up an interesting concept of having sort of a universal core set of, like, I don't know what you want to call it, like virtual DNA or something, mm-hmm. that would manifest differently depending on what world you entered. So cool thought. Brian, what do you think? Do you like the idea of being in like Second Life and then stepping off into Star Wars Online or something? Or what's it called? Star Wars The Old Republic? Sorry.
It's intriguing. I'm trying to think of how Xbox One is going to do that without us even noticing it.
Well, it's going to be simple, faster, different, or whatever their slogan was. Go on, sorry.
Well, we have the Xbox Live, and we have that stupid avatar that's there. And I guess, really, you're supposed to join channels and Skype with everybody before you decide to play a game, right?
Mm-hmm. I suppose, yeah.
That's kind of like toe in the door of the same thing.
It is. It's not quite the big virtual reality sort of singularity that was envisioned in... it's nowhere near the sort of virtuality singularity envisioned in Ready Player One, but I think it's kind of stepping us in that direction.
And then your system can just launch, you know, it'll be Xbox instead of Oasis. It can launch you into the other games.
But they would all be within the sort of the Xbox ecosystem, right? You wouldn't like leap over into the PlayStation Network or into Steam or something, right? I mean,
I think by the time we're this far, it'll all be one box.
Okay. Let's interesting thoughts. I think we can see right now the beginnings of sort of virtual, maybe linked virtual realms evolving.
And I think it kind of works. I mean, I don't really know many people who don't like Xbox Live.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It adds the ability to network with your friends and to play online. Yeah, and it's cool. So to fast forward from here, so we're definitely on board, I think, with game worlds and even sort of sandbox and social networking evolving and becoming more compelling and more 3D and so on. And basically more inviting so that you spend more and more and more and more of your time there as time goes on. Here's a question. Let's say that the day comes when these worlds are so realistic and they can so capture the essence of a human being that they could create a copy of you with a whole bunch of your knowledge and basically your mannerisms and everything, and place you permanently in that world upon your death, which wouldn't necessarily help you in this world, but would leave a copy of you to hang out and advise your children and grandchildren and so on. Would that be something that would interest you? Would you spend money to do that for the sake of your descendants, let's say?
Ooh. I think I would. First of all, I got to say that sounds so much like Caprica. I don't know if you guys watched that show.
It was a precursor series to Galactica, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never saw it. Never saw it.
Well, if that idea that you're just talking about intrigues you, then you should check it out.
Okay, okay.
I will tell you that it's extremely slow and boring as fuck. Interesting, but a hard watch, man.
It's no Galactica, huh?
No, no.
Okay.
I think if it was something that was built into our everyday existence, kind of like how we see Facebook now, then I would do it. But if it's something that is just really interesting to a select few or, you know, the teen crowd and stuff like that, then I wouldn't waste money on it.
The teen crowd. How obnoxious would it be to have like a teenage version of your great grandmother hanging around for all eternity advising you?
No, but you know what I mean. If like if it was something that, you know, a certain demographic of the living society used, then I don't know if it would be worth it. But if it's something that everybody uses, like email on a daily basis,
yeah,
and it's part of your everyday routine.
It's definitely something, at least the way I'm envisioning it, it's something that a lot of people want to take advantage of. I mean, the benefit for me would be to leave me with all of my accumulated knowledge and stuff around to be there for my offspring if I ever had any.
Right. And I guess my point is, like, if it's going to turn into the kind of thing where, man, I don't want to go to deaddaddy.com. That shit's weak.
Oh. So you mean you wouldn't want to leave that there and then only have this copy of yourself become like obsolete entertainment?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Like an unvisited website. Your hits counter goes to zero.
Exactly.
You're just sitting out there.
I don't want to be GeoCities of the future.
Now it's horrifying if you assume there's a level of self-awareness in these copies and it's not just a very sophisticated piece of simulation software, because God, how lonely would it be to be an unvisited GeoCities site and know that's what you are?
Sitting on a fucking dead server.
Wish somebody just go ahead and unplug this data center, but it runs on nuclear power.
Wish they just 404 me and get it over with.
God, that's horrible. I never thought about that.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, it wouldn't be worth the money, because you figure something like that would have to be expensive.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I sort of put it out there as, you know, what if it was costly and what if it wasn't? It's interesting to ponder. And if you think about it, like, the billions of people that would do it would only be relevant to their immediate family, circle of family and friends, and maybe for like one or two generations. And
right.
Oh, I wonder what my great-great-grandfather has to say about this. Why, I took a wagon out on the Oregon Trail. Okay, Grandpa, I don't want to talk to you anymore. And they just shut you off.
I mean, I regret my Leave a Legacy at Epcot Center. I can't even imagine how I'd feel about my Leave a Legacy on GeoCities in, you know, 10 centuries from now.
Well, your future Leave a Legacy at Epcot Center will be a 3D projected hologram of you riding on rides with your great-great-great-great-great-grandkids.
Yeah, and like when people I know walk by, you see the little cutout of me and I'm tapping on it like, let me out. I'd fuck with it. That'd be awesome.
You remember me? Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah, from like 50 years ago. He's a dick. Keep walking. Brian, would you be in?
I want to pervert the question yet again. Maybe not for me, but, I would actually pay for a couple of other people. Like Bill Nye.
Oh, to have him around forever in some form?
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. So maybe only compelling content gets its own website. So the GeoCities sites maybe don't get made.
You could have immortal advisors.
Now that's definitely a more highbrow way of looking at it. So you could have these like brilliant thought leaders preserved forever.
And I assume being so digitized, you'd continue to learn, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't be a snapshot.
Yeah, I mean, we can make that assumption for the sake of making it a more attractive option. I mean, you know, I was thinking just an approximation of you and your personality, but it could be an actual learning, evolving, sentient copy, in which case that opens up a lot of interesting questions, especially imagine some genius from the past alive today still contributing, you know?
Right. Could you imagine being like some type of scientist or engineer, and you can log in and have a virtual sit down with any mind, any fantastic mind that there ever was that's in the system? That'd be crazy, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, you could
sit down with Einstein and Galileo and talk some shit. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Imagine how fast we could produce now, like the advancements, how fast our advancements would be now if we were able to resource not just what they left behind, but what
they're learning in the present day, right? Because they're not suffering from old age or anything. They're just like constantly sharp and constantly learning and benefiting from being plugged into this vast computer network.
They probably read fast as fuck too. I mean,
yeah. Wow. I think that's a pretty interesting spin on it, Brian. And I would definitely be in favor of like having a policy of like backing up all our smart people. Now that said, so let's say we have these backups. Then let's assume these backups are as sophisticated as we want. These copies, these virtual copies, are actually, it's Einstein. He knows he's Einstein. He's still learning. He exists in this cool virtual world where he never sleeps and he can do anything. Do you think that he or any resident of such a world, if the technology ever came about where they could bring him back into the physical world with a body, like, hey, we can totally clone a body from this hair from your DNA and like transfer your consciousness into it. Do you think you or somebody like that or anybody would ever make the decision to leave the sort of boundless virtual world and re-enter the real world?
Are we talking like Futurama heads in jars?
No, we're talking like your reconstituted, like, you know, body in the prime of life, free of disease or with any modifications you want, you know, in the year like 2350. If you want, like, hey, Rick, just to let you know, technology's come along. You know, it's 300 years since you died and we can bring you back to the real world if you want. I mean, I know you're enjoying being like a class, you know, a level 70 dragon slayer slash nuclear physicist in the virtual world. But if you want, you can always return to the regular world where it's like Star Trek, you know, or something. How likely do you think people would be to, like, I asked this question because my first instinct is like, well, okay, this is just a holding cell that lets me escape death long enough for me to be reintroduced to the real world. But if you think about the virtual world as being such an awesome place that it's better than the real world in a lot of ways, would you necessarily want to come back?
I don't know how addicted to physical manipulation I am. Like, all of the ideas that you could come up with, you couldn't do on your own.
You couldn't do in the physical world, you mean?
No, I mean, you couldn't do in the virtual world. I mean, you were a genius and knew how to, you know, create black hole guns or something like that. You're a program. You're an intellect. You can't produce them.
Well, see, now that's interesting. Like, is the virtual world like the Matrix? Do you taste the steak? Do you feel the touch? Are you able to manipulate it to suit your whims, your desires, in such a convincing way that it feels real? You know, even though you know it's not, but it feels real. You know, you're making the assumption that you're just a consciousness, which is probably more realistic. I'm assuming you're like Neo or Morpheus or something.
Well, I think as long as you're aware that there's another level, even if you do taste and even if you do feel, you know, it's not reality. And if people are coming to you and like, dude,
come back,
Nikolai, what do you think about this? You have to know it's not the real thing.
So you think that the compulsion to return to the real would always sort of be burning in the back of your mind, no matter how awesome you were in the virtual world?
It might be.
Yeah, I think there might be something inherent in human nature that might keep that itch itching. Do you agree, Rick?
Yeah.
Yeah. So no matter the ability to go back and forth would be cool, but
there could also be the thing where, you know, if they're more than just the consciousness and it's more like the sandboxy thing, they're in a situation where they're not restricted by manufacturing times. They're not restricted by the pros and cons of the real world. It's just all pros. They can dream it, they can think it, they can do it. it's there. Yes, it's still virtual, but in their world, it is real. So it is a working, living proof of concept virtually.
Yeah. It almost makes you wonder what then the purpose of the physical world is. Is it just to keep the servers running? I mean maybe right. The physical world becomes like this place of drudgery. Like, all right, you got to go do your sentry in the server, in the server farm. Then you can come back. Everybody has to leave to come into the physical world every so often.
But then what about the other side of things where you're just deliberately tuning out and wanting to plug yourself into a virtual world?
It that could happen. Somebody could want to
live. That happens a lot now.
I mean, it really does. Like, maybe you're just somebody that didn't have a very remarkable life, or you didn't like people, or you didn't like the world. Now you can live in what's the world where World of Warcraft takes place?
Azeroth,
sorry. Now you can live in Azeroth for the rest of your days.
Now, would you be living in the game, or would you be living in because I'm thinking like Total Recall style. So you would go in and you would prefab, but instead of a vacation, you're like, okay, I'm deadheading here for like 3 years, 5 years. Wake me up and, obviously we have to do some health check or something, but I'm signing out of the real world for X amount of time. And this is what I want.
You want to be in a dream that you're and not be aware that you're dreaming. In other words, you want this to be your reality. I would think something like that would be possible.
Just put me in a medical coma and put the USB port in.
Pretty much.
I think some people might elect that. I mean, I think you'd still have to get around that hurdle, that itch we sort of just identified for wanting to be part of the real, because I think there's some instinct there. But I don't know. I mean, I met some pretty big World of Warcraft nerds who would be like, oh, man, just like plug me in. And
but you got to think, you get killed by a big ass dragon in that game.
You just respawn. No big deal.
You just respawn. Do you respawn in your in your deadheaded vacation land?
That would suck. That would suck. You just flatline in your bed because some guy, because like your caster like sucked. Dude, who pulled all the mobs? Beep, and you flatline. Oh, terrible.
I think it'd be neat, like, if you could, I don't know, I think it'd be cool if you could set up the exact scenario. Like, I'm done with my World of Warcraft days, but I look back upon them pretty fondly, and I wouldn't mind spending six month stretches, good old Skaggle Ricks, running around building stuff. But I don't want to have to go fight any wars and like do dailies and shit like that. Like, I don't want to be in the game, but to really live in these places that I've become attached to in a certain way, I think it'd be kind of cool.
I see. So you'd want to live in a Second Life-y, sandboxy version of Azeroth, where you can actually live in that awesome fantasy world.
Well, I'd like to live as a Jawa on Tatooine.
Well,
but,
what have you? Yeah, either a gnome or a Jawa.
Right. The idea is there.
That's cool. That's cool, because I think having to like fetch quest and gather reagents would get old after a while.
Right. It's fun as a break from work, but I don't want to be avatar farming for the rest of my life.
Well, I think people would if you could just if that could be your reality, and then every few years they could wake you up and be like, hey, do you want to come back to the real world? The answer in a lot of cases then would be, hell no, this is awesome. And by the way, while I'm in here, don't let me be aware that I'm in a virtual world.
Right.
Although then it might lose its special nature. A lot to ponder.
Given the way MMOs are currently going, it's much more likely, I feel, that you'd have to log out every couple of years to get a real job to make more like station cash so that you could buy the new stuff, like buy the new cool mount.
So
and
the only
go back in.
So you have to buy your right. That's what I'm saying. Like, somebody has to keep the servers running. So every few years you have to come into the real world and like keep the real world operating so that the virtual world inside it can continue to operate.
Well, couldn't you just get a job as an NPC?
Oh god, then I would shoot myself.
You fucking working as a teller at the bank and shit.
Oh, that would suck so much, handing out like scrolls for quests.
Yeah, you get like fucking Knoll Scout quest all day.
Hello, Dalimdor. The gnolls are attacking our village. Please help. Hello, Dildo Breath. Oh, God, you named your character Dildo Breath? Whatever. Here's a scroll. Gnolls attacking the village. Help.
Hello, Gandalf.
Hello, Gandalf. What a clever name. Knowles. Any other thoughts on virtual worlds or living in them, playing in them, what they will become?
I highly recommend the movie. This was a brilliant movie, but not too many people saw it. Not too many people that I know at least saw it. It's pretty much the exact opposite of this. Have you guys ever seen Surrogates?
Is that the Bruce Willis movie?
Yeah.
I have it, but I haven't watched it.
Name sounds
great. Familiar. You should watch it.
It sounds awfully familiar, but I'm not sure if I've seen it. But does it have to do with like occupying a virtual world?
It's basically you log into your computer, like, you know, lay down in this like nice comfy bed that doesn't let you waste away into nothing. Log into a computer program, and then your robot like rolls out of bed, like your actual physical robot rolls out of the bed right next to you, and then goes about your life.
Ah, so you just get to sleep?
No, you control your robot.
Oh, so like,
you play your own life game, basically.
That's interesting. So
it's a great movie. It's a cool movie.
It's like repercussion free for you, right? So Surrogates, good recommendation, I think. I'll add to that you should read Ready Player One. This is to all of our listeners and to you guys. I know you've already done that. I would also recommend that you watch the anime Sword Art Online, which tackles the issues of virtual worlds and life and death in and out of them. And definitely, once again, I will plug this great book called Infinite Reality, something, something, virtual world, something, something, which we'll link to once again in our show notes.
That's not the Robot Chicken parody version, is it?
That's going to be coming up. I think that's going to be presented live in Second Life next week.
And I can't stress enough, if you really want to figure out what it was like to work on a farm, Avatar Farm Online, 80 Microsoft points.
And two Gamer friends tag, to play with already.
Gamertag Moobot, invite me. I'm awesome at managing resources, so let's do this.
And please enjoy the company of our former friend, Moobot. And so with those plugs out of the way, I think it's time to pull the plug on this episode. Before we do that, let's wrap things up in a virtually awesome style. Virtually awesome? Yeah, that works. If you are a fan of the iTunes and the virtual world known as the Apple Sphere, I just named that, nobody else used that, please leverage the iTunes portal. And once there, subscribe to our podcast, write an awesome, or at this point, I'll even take a scathing negative review, but I prefer awesome, of our podcast, and rate us 5 out of 5 of virtual stars.
And if you can't figure out how to use the iPortal, you can head on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can download the show, stream the show, rate the show, leave us comments, all kinds of good stuff.
Or use your haptic feedback mouse to roll over to facebook.com, like our page, join our group, join the fun.
The virtual fun.
No, it's reality fun.
All right. With that, guys, we bid you a virtual farewell.
See you next week.
Goodbye. That was my little robot talking. That was my little wake up rooster saying goodbye. Goodbye, Kadoobadoo.